Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Oh! Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jackson weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big college basketball show. We're glad to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in Southern California, bracing itself amidst the really scary coronavirus global outbreak all around the planet. No corner is safe, and people are trying to respond as best as they can, but things sometimes take a turn for the worse, and it happened tonight as we record this program. Rudy Gobert, a very, very good defensive player for the Utah Jazz, dismissing the possibility that the coronavirus could be a really serious thing, decided to come in with a cavalier attitude, and the end result is he played tonight with symptoms of an illness, and he got so sick they had to stop the game. He and I didn't catch the other guy, but could have been Donovan Mitchell, actually. Both were very, very questionable at best. And obviously they were less than questionable. They were simply just not fit to play. They canceled the game in the middle, and the NBA has completely terminated, or they've suspended the season as a result, and for obvious reasons, because after the game, they had tested Rudy Gobert to be positive for coronavirus. This is very serious, and everything that every sports league throughout this country and every country had feared. Truly the worst nightmare for any professional sports league in the context of the coronavirus outbreak. And the NBA has no choice but to stop the season until they work out a solution and can have some kind of assurance that their players are in good health and the proper quarantine has been taken has been assessed to the players who are infected. At this point, you could even argue that it's the two teams that are playing tonight, not just one or two guys, everybody now, because that's a basketball game. You're up there, you're playing close. It's a very, very sad and an unfortunate situation, and we'll have more coverage on that coming up in future shows. It's interesting because our friend Sports Pope has been under the weather. That's why we didn't do an NBA report on Tuesday. But we hope to have him soon. I would really like to do this maybe tomorrow. But if it's not tomorrow, we'll do it at our regular time next week during our NBA report. But we do need to address this coronavirus. The NBA was very slow to react. And maybe this is the end result of that, but maybe not. I mean, this doesn't seem like the fans had a real impact on this one. So it's really scary. But tonight, we're not talking about the NBA. We're going to talk about the NCAA basketball scene right now. We are in the middle of conference tournament time. And because things are just very frightening right now around us, we want to definitely take a little bit of a load off for all of you, and we'll give you some entertaining updates from our conference tournament so far. Coronavirus has hit the college basketball world as well. Numerous college basketball tournaments have decided to play their games without fans. The Big Ten is among them. I think the Big 12, too. The Big West, also. And we will probably see others in the next few days. The NCAA ruled today that they will play the NCAA basketball tournament, the men's and probably the women's too, with no fans in the stands. And that sucks. That's not fun. But as you can see, it's a very frightening time, and they're trying to do everything they can to try to contain the coronavirus. And I think what we have is the possibility that the NCAA may even go so far as to suspend the entire tournament as well. We don't know that at this point as we record this program on a Wednesday evening in the middle of March. So we'll see. But for now, we'll talk about what's happening on the court. And there's quite a bit. We've had some conference tournaments that have completed. We don't have any real set format tonight. We're just going to get into all the scenarios. So to do that, I'm happy to introduce my friend, Get Your Own Show, who's been following the college basketball world quite acutely. And and Yas Man, or Chris in Syracuse, as we would call him, off the air. How's it going tonight, my friend? How's everything?
Going well. We're hanging in there, following the news like you are.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, definitely.
Pretty serious stuff and decisions being made.
Yeah.
None of it's fun.
No.
None of it's fun.
No, it's not.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I agree. None of these decisions are easy for anybody. And I just want to make that point. You know, I hope you guys are safe out there. You know, all of us are really in, you know, a moderate kind of a threat to a degree, because we're all dealing with public spaces with a lot of people. And, you know, I know what you do for a living. By the way, your industry is going to have a great time in the next 2 months. I mean, if there's a silver lining to be had, I mean, they're going to have, you know, if...
Oh, it's already freaking started. It's...
Yeah, you're right. And especially what, the soap section and the disinfectant? Like, that's probably just the, like, worldwide record sales.
Oh, yeah. That's it's out, and then we get a little bit more, and then it's out again.
Oh, wow.
It's... funny, they watching the store manager yesterday as I was leaving work, they sent us these like Purell dispenser stands so that people can sanitize their hands in there, and they're pretty big tubs of the hand sanitizer that go in these things. And one guy walking by, one of the other employees walking by said, "So they're going to steal those, right?" Right out of there.
Good point.
Well, could be.
Yeah, could be.
And I go, why are we setting these up to give them away for free? We could be selling these out the back door. None of us would have to work for a month. You know, what the street value is of this stuff right now?
Yeah, it's got to be crazy, right? Like,
you know, go down to New York, especially you go down to New York City. And they're like, "Hey, I got some Purell here. Good stuff." I bet we could even cut it with 50% water, stretch it.
Oh boy! No, you're right. Who would know? They'll take it anyway, even if they did know.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's the most interesting thing to me so far. It doesn't seem like LA has been hit nearly as hard as New York. New York has been just brutalized by.
The one guy downstate, and you know, it just kind of happened, but.
Yeah,
I mean, if you ask me if I'm like personally worried, I'm really, really not.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, I mean, in terms of like life-threatening sickness, I'm probably not that worried yet.
Because that's just not what this is. No matter what I don't get everything, but
yeah,
and I'm no expert. But if you ask me if I'm personally worried, no, not really. Do I want to be sick for a week or two? I really don't want to do that either. I had that happen back in January, where I was sick for a few days, and mm-hmm. you know, with a respiratory thing, and you know, that's never fun.
Yeah,
it's never fun.
No. Yeah. I mean, I know friends of ours have been sick with various things too. Although it's not specifically COVID-19, but it's still not fun. And it's not like there aren't other sicknesses either. Like, the flu has been just as bad.
Yeah,
I might say just as bad, but it's been pretty bad around here.
Yeah, my mom had the flu.
Ooh.
Last week. I don't know if that, you know, my grandfather's still in the hospital with the pneumonia stuff. And then he got the flu while he was in there. So,
oh man,
you know,
that's a bummer.
That's the people I'm worried about, because he's got respiratory problems.
Yeah,
down the line. Anyway, he is so susceptible. Anyway, but am I personally all that worried? Not really.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, there are a couple of factors to break down. Well, like with the two of us, we're not that old, you know, not yet.
No.
I feel like I'm getting old, but I'm not that old yet. We tend to be pretty active. Like, we are not, you know, we don't have any. I don't think we have any major health respiratory issues. I don't think you do. Do you?
No, not really.
Okay, so we're all right there, and we tend to not be over. I mean, no, that's the gist of it. I think the other end of it is just being clean, sanitation. There's stuff you should be doing anyway,
yep.
Like washing your hands, making sure you don't have to touch your face, you know, do the best you can with all of that and just be smart. And I think that that's helped a lot of people so far, but it's not going to stop anything. And I think the one thing that I've felt, I don't disagree with any of the measures that have been taken in the last few. No outright disagree with anything that's been happened in the last couple of weeks. But on the other hand, it's like there's no assurance that that's going to stop anything either. So it's like,
right.
Even if you do everything that people theoretically want you to do, there's no assurance that that's going to contain anything. Like, we just don't know. Like, it's just the great.
And that just goes back to, you know, it's not like the moment you're exposed to something, you're sick and you know it.
Right.
Has to incubate, and you can go here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, geez, people, it's tough. And again, I'm not going to sit here and continue to
talk
about it because I don't really know.
Yeah.
Infectious disease expert.
Right. No, I'm not either. So I think that's pretty well said, and we'll leave it at that for now. And get into some other more lighthearted details. And we start with the conference tournaments. And we can talk about the regular season, too, if you want. And the regular season is summarized thusly. Kansas was the clear best team, deserving of the number one seed. It was between them and Baylor for most of the last 2 months. But Kansas seemed to rise to the top, especially in those head-to-head games. It was clear that Kansas was the better team. And I feel like they have dominated the Big. Dominated the Big 12 yet again. Just when you thought that something was going to be different this year in the Big 12, it's once again Kansas at the top.
It never is.
You're right. Exactly.
It never is.
It was such a carrot that they were teasing us with during much of the second half of the season, and yet same result. We ended up with Kansas again with a number one seed in this tournament. And they don't have to do squat. Like, they can lose the first game, and they would do nothing to impact their seeding in the NCAA tournament.
That I'm pretty sure that's correct, because even Kansas had its. They seemed to have their struggles, and it wasn't even losses. There were just a couple times they didn't look all that good, but it was early on. They got that. Mm-hmm. It's the second half of the year. They've clearly been the best team, whereas some other teams that. You know, maybe we thought were the big dominant teams. Baylor, they've tripped and stumbled. San Diego State has had their issues. Obviously, you know, losing in the Mountain West tournament, losing that game against BYU towards the end of the regular season. And you mentioned Baylor; they've had their own troubles. So it's more of everyone else seeming to have their struggles late. Gonzaga, I guess, would be another team, because I mean, they look good for the most part in the WCC tournament. They looked really good last night, but even they had a little hiccup here and there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now we go into. Who can upset them in the Big 12 tournament? I don't really know if anyone can. I take that back. I think, as I said, I don't think Kansas has a lot to play for, so I wouldn't be more surprised than not if they won. Isn't that kind of weird? But it's true. I think there are many teams in the Big 12 that need their games more, and nobody needs a game to win more than Texas. Now, I haven't checked on what Texas has been doing tonight or in the last couple days, but... They have looked so terrible this year, and you know this game well. When they played against, was it TCU, whoever it was, and got their butt kicked, man, that was rough. It just makes you wonder where their motivation is right now for the season, Chris.
Oh, absolutely. But see, they were so bad, and then they somehow wheeled off five straight. You know, they beat West Virginia in there, I believe, who... Again, they looked a lot better early in the year. I don't know what exactly happened up there. But then they went and they lost to Oklahoma State by 22 last weekend. Their net ranking's in the high 50s. It's not pointed in the right direction for them. So they kind of have to do work in this tournament. I believe they're in, according to Lenardi. Yes, they're in one of, according to Lenardi on ESPN, they're in one of the playing games. They're in one of the 11 seed playoff games against NC State, who of course won earlier today.
They did, yeah.
But also on the bubble in the Big 12 is Oklahoma State, and they beat Texas, which looks good or okay anyway. And then we just watched them get a 1-point win. In very exciting circumstances.
Yeah, boy, what a gaffe by Iowa State at the end of that. I really did think at the end of the clock, they assumed that Oklahoma State was just going to walk the ball up and just drain the clock for a shot. Instead, one of the guys, and I'm sorry, I don't know his name, the kid took the ball coast to coast and did a layup.
Yeah, right to the rack, and yeah, it was pretty easy. Just about as easy as the go-ahead layup for Iowa State. Both of those scores at the end of that game were pretty easy buckets. I think a kid fell down in the lane on the Iowa State bucket. I think he tripped. He fell down, and that just opened up the lane for. No, the Oklahoma State kid, I should say, tripped and let the Iowa State kid through the lane, and he scored easily. There was no resistance. And then Iowa State just kind of didn't get back, like you said.
Right.
Or they didn't get back with the urgency that they needed to. And the kid, I think he was thinking, I'm going to take it. I think at the worst he was hoping, get a whistle.
Yeah.
Drive it and maybe get fouled.
Yeah, I mean, I love the strategy, and whether it was the ball handler's initiative or whether the coach had suggested it to him. Either I think that strategy was tremendous, and we don't see enough of that in college basketball. I've been watching a lot of college tournament games between last week and this one, and you see so many times at the end of regulation in a tie game. Especially if it's a tie game. But even if it isn't a tie game, you see them all, they just kind of walk the ball up and then they kind of dribble it, just staying on one spot. And then they wait until the shot clock gets to, wait until the game clock gets to 5 seconds, and then they try to make a shot. And it's usually just like some guy just dribbling one-on-one and jacking up a bad shot. And it's just like, why don't you try to go to the hoop more and try to go for the foul at the worst case scenario? I never understand why they're so content to just let out the clock. They're so concerned about the clock. And it's like, you should be concerned about getting the points, then worry about the clock.
Right? Especially if they have more points than you do.
What I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely.
If you have more points, this is very John Madden-like here, or maybe Bill Walton. But I mean, if you have more points than they do, then yes, it would be smart to take some time off the clock, Dave. Dave, right?
The objective of it's Dave, right? Yeah. The objective of the game is to score more points. I love that. That strategy you don't get anywhere else, folks. That's what it's all about. That's why we win the Marconis. So let's see. We were on
somebody's
the Big 12.
Yeah. Well, somebody's going to have to explain to me. I'm just spitballing with what I'm watching right now. How a Stanford team that comes in 9-9 in conference has to play tonight after a strong start. How exactly we're trailing by 10 at the half to Cal. Somebody should inform them that they have to win this game and maybe another one.
Ooh. No, that's not what you want. Speaking of struggle to score, that team is really one of the toughest offenses to watch. And Cal, too, for that matter. It's just been a ragged set of basketball in the Bay Area, and this has been going on all year. So them not having enough points, that seems not surprising. It's Actually, quite typical.
Cal won about five games last year. They've won, you know, they've won 13 this year with it being Mark Fox's first year. So I think they're maybe a little ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. And when they, you know, when they play in Berkeley, it's pretty good. I mean, not that that's a shocking revelation. Most teams play
better
at home and have better records at home, but some of these Pac-12 teams, they cannot play or cannot win away from home. And it seems to be these younger teams like Cal and like Utah. I know they lost a close one today, but Utah, their home versus away splits were enormous.
Mm.
And like I wouldn't have picked against them in Salt Lake, but away from there, it's pretty ugly.
Right, right. I mean, they've had some losses. I think they lost at UCLA. Let me double-check that, though, but I think they did, because UCLA went on a 7-game win streak until they lost to USC at the end of the season, so...
Yeah, close one. Close one.
Great game. Great game. You know, it was a low-scoring game, but it was a really good game. USC was right there, and then Matthews at the end with the at the buzzer beater, but pretty close to it. Just a tremendous finish in at the Galen Center between those two teams. So I got to give a lot of credit to UCLA. I keep harping on this. I know you keep hearing me say this. They have no guy that can create his own shot. They have no go-to scorer. Their offense in general just isn't that good. But what they bring every night is tough defense, which is molded in the personality of their new coach, Mick Cronin. Just a tremendous coaching job this year. He hasn't even gotten his recruits in there yet. Not really. And they're winning games. I got to give them a lot of credit. They've played tough. They don't give away any game. They haven't even really had too many letdown games. In fact, if you go back to when they lost to Hofstra, Hofstra won the Colonial Conference last night. So
yep.
They didn't even lose to a bad team. That was a good team.
That was a 25-win team.
Yeah. Not that bad a team at all. So their losses are also to BYU. And I think when they played Chaminade, we were thinking about, well, maybe they lose to them, but they didn't.
Yeah. I remember that.
It was a fun night. We were thinking, oh, but what did they lose to Chaminade? You know, they only ended up winning by...
It's one of those things where in that tournament, it's like every so often you want to see Chaminade get one somewhere, some way.
That would be fun. Yeah, for sure. So hopefully...
Or at least be competitive.
Well, will Chaminade's chances be improved with no fans? Maybe they'll be a more even playing field? I don't know. We'll see. But let's move on. So, yeah, it was a pretty good year for UCLA. The Pac-12 is a bit of a mess. Now, here's my big question to you. Do you consider this a good conference, a mediocre conference, or a great conference based on what we know? Because nobody seemed to step up during the entire season. Like, it was a three-way tie for first until the final weekend. So it's really an interesting, but maybe in the way we say interesting, a quote interesting season for this conference. Where are you with this conference?
I think anything's better than the last year or two.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's improved.
Last year it was objectively bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's something more than that now.
Which means what? Kind of bad? Sort of bad?
Yeah.
More competitive, I guess?
More competitive, yeah. Maybe mediocre. It's like everyone dumps on a league if they don't have, you know, a top five team that ran through everybody.
That's true.
Undefeated, that's true. You know, and it's... Yeah. It just doesn't always happen.
Right. That is
true.
That's true of divisions in pro sports, too. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, if you don't have a top dog that's really dominant, you think, oh, that's not a good division. That's a good point.
I mean, there's a lot to like about Oregon. But they've had some frustrations. Same thing with Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona State had at least... a portion of the year was pretty good. They had a solid section, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just who's playing well when. Mm-hmm. USC has things to like, but there's a lot of inconsistencies.
Yeah.
Washington, they lost their point guard, so they went from like first to worst from last year to this year.
Right.
Because he got suspended or was ineligible or whatever. You know, it's sometimes things are tough, in my opinion anyway, things are tough to evaluate. But I do think it's better than last year, and I hope for everyone's sake that it continues to go in that direction. Because I think when the Pac-12 is better, you know, sports are better because, you know, obviously they're big schools. They have a lot of interest, especially, you know, they kind of dominate the news and, you know, that side of the country for college sports.
Mm-hmm.
Though they're, you know, with teams like BYU and Gonzaga and San Diego State, Utah State to a degree, there's quite a lot of buzz out west for college basketball this year, and you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, the West Coast Conference in particular is having a very nice year, and I think Dick Vitale, doing some of the coverage of the WCC tournament, made a great point that this is a new era with that conference where you can get a team or to have an at-large bid and not just limited to whoever wins the conference. And I think that speaks to the depth of the teams there. And they're doing very well. I do hope that you'll get maybe BYU or SMC, or St. Mary's, that is, into the tournament alongside Gonzaga, who had another great year. And they really proved it on the court this year, too. I think they battled some adversity, too, during the tournament. They had a little bit of a ragged game against, who was that? We were on that game. We both love the under. I mean, the over, that is.
San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, San Francisco. They gave a tough game. And even San Francisco had a pretty good year. So, I really...
San Francisco was a pretty good team. Not an NCAA tournament team, but it should be an NIT team.
That's pretty good. I think they'd be very happy with the NIT bid.
I think the conference would be very happy if they got 2-3 in the NCAA tournament and then a NIT bid.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd be happy with that, too.
Yeah. I see that prospect of that pretty good. As I mentioned, I think you could absolutely put BYU in there. They beat Gonzaga earlier in the season. And if you could do a third, who would your third be from there?
Oh, St. Mary's.
Oh, well, yeah, that's good, too. That's good, too. Yeah.
I'm not so sure that's going to happen.
Probably not, but I mean, it could. The 50-50 chance. Three is a 50-50, right? But maybe two?
Right. I think they should get two.
Yeah, all right.
I think I think other leagues should look to kind of build like this. I think mm-hmm. if some of these smaller leagues can get can maybe do the same thing. Look at a team like, and it's not unheard of that you get a good team from a quote mid-major conference. Look at Eastern Tennessee.
Ah, yeah.
Look at East Tennessee. That is a very good team right there. It's a 30-win team.
Oh, yeah. Eastern Tennessee had a really sneaky good year. You know, I don't think a lot of people know about them. And people listening to the podcast probably don't even know about them. But 30 wins. And every bit the dominance in their conference title game win. And was that yesterday? I think it was. But
No, it was Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, Tennessee.
They always play on that game on Sunday.
Got you. So they trashed Wofford. That's right. Or do I have that right? Yeah, I do.
No,
that might have been Monday then.
Monday. That was the only one on Monday.
Yeah.
The only bet on Monday. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's 2 days ago. I'm thinking it's Tuesday still for some reason.
Oh, okay. No problem. But yeah, you know, Wofford typically wins the Southern Conference. So to be able to beat them out, well, Wofford didn't have that good a year though. They were a 7 seed in that.
No, they didn't. They made a good run in the tournament. They didn't have as strong of a year. You know, we've seen, you know, Wofford's come up, you know, as a team that's gotten several bids. They beat North Carolina a couple times. But really, I would say it was more between ETSU and Furman this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Furman struggled down the stretch, and Furman lost a late game to Wofford. So,
Oh, yeah, I see that on this. I see that on the schedule, yeah. 75-66, yeah. They lost.
Yeah, it wasn't a good deal,
yeah,
for them. But in fact, going back, one of the bigger games that people won't realize was when towards the end of the year when Furman and East Tennessee played, because there were thoughts that even if East Tennessee, if they had gotten through that game against Furman and then say they won the rest of the games, but they dropped one game, say they dropped the championship game in the conference tournament, that they could still get an at-large berth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find it likely. I think it was more interesting conjecture than everything, because no matter how much we sometimes want to see a team like that get rewarded, the committee never does. They go with some lame 16 and 15 at large school from, you know, the Big Ten or Big East or something.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
I'd like to kind of see that change.
Yeah, but that's going to be tough.
Then again,
the committee,
those teams sometimes they go and prove themselves. Sometimes,
yeah.
It's a tough call.
I
would like to see some of those smaller conference schools who have great regular seasons get rewarded with an at-large berth.
Yeah, it's
even if they don't win their.
I guess
their
it's going to depend on how big the conference is and how much history they have in the NCAA tournament. And Southern doesn't really have that much history. I mean, Wofford had a couple moments in the sun, but not a lot. So that's always one. Yeah, I mean, I want to see it, but I think what has to happen first is the conference itself has to have some impact on that tournament. You know, I mean, just win a game or two, or even be close with a team once in a while. Give you an example. UMBC, when they beat Virginia, that certainly elevated the conference they were in, and I should look up where that is.
I don't even think that much, because...
Oh, no? That was
the
just
MEAC the MEAC is still one of the bottom five, I would say.
Okay. Then
bottom five leagues.
Maybe that was a little different scenario. Okay.
Yeah, that was just a little different, but... You know, you see a team, even though I wasn't as sold on them as some other people were as far as the year they had, but you got Northern Kentucky now coming out of the Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And they dominated Illinois-Chicago last night.
Yeah, they
to win
did.
The bid.
Yeah,
but the shocker there was UIC beating, and I mean beating up on Wright State the night before to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who'd have seen that coming?
And because Wright State led that conference from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
They were clearly the best team. They, you know, they weren't perfect, but they definitely looked like the best team in the league. And then they get tipped on their head. Not that I would argue that they were good enough for a at-large bid, because really they weren't.
Right. Right. We just mentioned it with the MEAC. I mean,
that's the Horizon.
Horizon, that is. There are a bunch of these conferences that were intriguing. I mean, some of them had real dogfights, and some of them were real shootouts. But the one where you just saw all kinds of scoring was the Southern Conference. Southern, in the same one we were talking about, where East Tennessee State won. I mean, you just had people just scoring in, like, the 170s in that conference. It was pretty crazy.
Oh, well, there's a couple schools in the Southern, like Citadel and Samford, that are run-and-gun teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you get a lot of big score games. VMI to a little bit of a lesser extent.
Mm-hmm.
But games that, like, involve Samford and Citadel are just amazingly high scoring, and they don't care. They just take the ball and they run, and then the ball goes the other way just as fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's by design.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if it's the smartest thing, but
well, it gets you
ideas. I wouldn't say they're running the Grinnell system, but
mm-hmm.
you know, something close to, maybe more close to what LMU used to do. I don't know.
Right. Well, the old LMU. Yeah, if you look at LMU today, those
are grinded out games.
They're like 90 points a game. It's not.
No, the Paul Westhead.
That's the LMU of 30 years ago. Yeah, yeah. Three decades on. Look at that. But now, if you want to look at the antithesis of that, go to the Summit, and the Summit's based around the Rocky Mountains. So you see a lot of the Dakotas. You see Colorado. You see Omaha, other parts of Nebraska, and it's the home of Oral Roberts, and both North Dakota and North Dakota State. There were a lot of highly projected totals in this tournament, 154, 157, 149. I didn't write this down or anything, but ton of unders. It did not come close to matching the anticipated scoring level, and I guess it's the format of the tournament. Now, I don't remember if the Summit League had a neutral site. Because some of these don't. Like, I know that...
Somewhat?
The Summit.
Somewhat neutral?
Somewhat neutral?
Yep.
Because the game was night.
Sioux Falls there in South Dakota.
Right.
But they all go and play there anyway. It's you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, everybody's got to play in the same building.
But definitely it lines up for, you know, the Dakota teams.
Yeah.
And I was buying that. I mean, Omaha scored a ton at home, but on the road, there's another team that just couldn't get it done away from home.
Yeah, that seems right.
Omaha. I could see Oral Roberts again, a pretty high scoring team. But I didn't think. I know that one game that they played there, I took an under, and it was pretty easy to get.
Yeah, well, it was 157 in that game. 157.
Yeah. I don't think that one's happened. Yeah, no, as I said, I don't think that one's happening.
No. But the final game did, if anyone cares, if you're degenerate enough to care about this, the final game did hit an over finally, although just barely. North Dakota versus North Dakota State. And what a season for North Dakota State. You already know about their football team dominating Division II or FCS college football, but their basketball team makes it to the NCAA tournament on the Division I level. That's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it's not the first time for them. They had a good year, and they got it done. Of course, you know, they do tend to dominate the FCS football scene.
Right.
So it's pretty good for them. Wasn't that great of a game last night. You know, they got out to the 21-2 lead. And, you know, they just kind of cruised from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, for some reason, I want to jump to a couple maybe bigger conferences.
Oh, sure.
Right now,
let's do that. Because
I'm looking at the Syracuse halftime score here, of course, being in Syracuse, and they're up like 19 on UNC, who everyone thought was going to, or everyone said could, you know, go right through this ACC tournament and, you know, possibly get to the final game and whatever, and I just didn't buy it. I didn't think they were that good. They have a great player who I think is getting healthier and stronger as we go on, but I just don't think they're good. And you have to be really good to win 5 days in a row. And you have to have a lot to go right, and I just didn't see it. And here we are. And, of course, the ACC pretty well down. They're going to get probably 4 bids in, and that's – you don't see that a lot. That's really low for them. And it's not to say that, like, all these teams are terrible. It's just that they couldn't separate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Syracuse was down, but or it seemed down. They're very young. And put in a middling performance. Georgia Tech. Middling performance, same with Clemson. NC State's on the bubble, I guess, if they won another game. I mean, if they got Duke tomorrow. If they can beat Duke again, they probably could have a pretty good chance at an at-large berth. I mean, you beat Duke twice in a year, that's pretty good. Even if Duke's maybe not as dominant as some people think they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're still... maybe the best team in the league, though.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
Florida
so.
State's pretty good, and Louisville's pretty good. But again, there's just not a lot of...
It's not a lot of...
It's more in the middle. Yeah, it's just more in the mediocre. Virginia, they looked terrible to start the year, Virginia.
Yeah, they really
did. Still can't score.
I thought they had no chance at a tournament, and now we see them in...
But they've won eight games in a row.
Yeah.
And then, won eight games in a row. They haven't lost in 3 weeks at least. And
the road looks
doing
gettable.
It how they always did it.
Well, their defense never got away. The defense was always there for them. And the key, Nia Kite was having a nice year, too. And it's been, you're right, it's been quite a rally.
Yeah, now they're looking like a team that can do something, which they could, but I don't see it being more than, I think, five at the most teams.
I think even five is generous, right? I mean, realistically, well, this is how I see it. Like, I think I see Duke. Geez, now then what? Right? It's like, I mean...
Florida State and Louisville are going to be in there.
Okay. Yeah, all right, Florida State, right, and then...
Louisville's in.
If North Carolina does get to the
Virginia.
Final... Well, Virginia, I think,
yeah,
if they...
Virginia's in. Those four teams are in. And then it would have to be, like I said, NC State beating Duke tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or maybe some kind of miracle run by Notre Dame. Otherwise,
They got to beat Virginia, though. I don't know about that. That's going to be tough.
Well, NC State's got to beat Duke, so...
That's going to be tough, too.
Again, you don't know. And I think most of the same arguments that we're using right now translate to the SEC.
Yeah.
A team, a league that, you know, has been good in the previous couple years. Oh, they're talking to Roy. Too bad I have this on mute. I'd really like to know his thoughts right now.
Put on the caption.
What are you going to do to turn this game? What are you going to do to turn this game around, Roy? This must have been a couple minutes ago because they are officially underway. Syracuse with a 21-point lead here.
He needs to play harder. He needs the team to play harder. Bring your energy.
Fascinating. They pay him how much for this?
Oh, man. That's why he makes the big bucks. Oh, man. But you know what? I did have a little bit of a soft spot for these guys. I thought they could make a run to the final round. And that's not going to happen with this. Unless there's just something dramatic in the second half. I didn't realize they were down by this many points. They're down by 21? 21. Wow. Good job out of your team.
Yeah, well, we'll see. The big guys both have three fouls, of course, because they always do.
Mm-hmm.
Those two kids could just stay out of freaking foul trouble. It'd be a lot easier. Yeah. A lot easier.
Well,
it's a guard-dominated team, but Dolezal there, he's come on this year as like an offensive presence, which I never thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is he'd get blown over by a stiff breeze. Almost like he's frail.
Right. Yeah, so he doesn't seem that thick of a build then, if that's... Is that my implication?
Oh, no, dude. Do you got it on right now?
Let me see. Who are we looking at? What number?
21. 21, Merrick Dolezal.
Oh, my goodness.
He just goes down there and he gets...
He could trip over an ant.
He's more than willing to go down there and mix it up, but he just gets...
Yeah, I see this.
...knocked around like a pinball.
I see this. He just did it right now. Oh, my God. Oh, man. He just bounces off of people like a bug. It's too funny. Okay, so that's the ACC in a nutshell. I do want to talk about the SEC. It's an entertaining conference, and one thing I noticed about them this year is that, man, they love the score.
So inconsistent.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
At certain times and places, there's teams that can light it up on a... There's a team that could light it up tonight, but two nights from now, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn could score.
I knew you were talking about Auburn. I knew it, because...
Alabama could score.
Yes.
Georgia could score.
Yep.
But can you count on them to score?
No.
On a consistent nightly basis, no.
No, and really I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they do most of their scoring at home. Like, Auburn seems to do their best when they're at home. Same for Georgia. Same for all the, those other teams you mentioned.
Alabama.
Bama, too. That's a good point, yeah. I mean,
they just went up top to the kid.
Oh, ho, ho. Look at that. That's funny. Oh, man. That's a highlight reel right there. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's – oh, man, where's the defense on that play, by the way? That was – ooh. But good stuff. This is quite a night. You must be loving this. This is obviously a great start to the half.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. By the way, Syracuse, if they played Auburn, I am fully of the opinion that you put a any kind of a zone defense or what Liberty and Virginia both run, a pack line defense against the Auburn offense, that team's offense is going to be much, much worse. I don't see them scoring well against those teams because it depends on them to really shoot the three-pointer consistently, and you just said it. They don't
do
that.
They're not that good at it.
No, they're not. So they keep shooting it, but they're not really hitting the three-pointer much this year. So if you put them in position where they're forced to shoot the three, repeatedly, they're going to really have a tough game. So I need to – I'm very, very interested to see where they seed Auburn this year. Yeah, they'll make it in the tournament, but – I'm very interested to see who they match up against. If they match up against a team like that, against a team like Liberty, who are very good at that pack line defense.
Ooh, yeah. Low scoring games there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, that is going to be a very, very interesting matchup to me personally. Because if, just imagine, Auburn, first of all, never take Auburn. I just want to make this public service announcement to everybody. Never. Ever take Auburn laying 10 or more points. Do not ever do this at any point of the season because they're just not very not that good of a defense. And even if they do put up a lead, because they're so bad at outside shooting, they're very prone to giving it away in later in the game. So it's just not the smart play. But at any rate, that's what you want to do. If you got Liberty with 10 plus points, take the points. But anyway, Gus, I'll give it to you for your thoughts.
Oh, I completely agree. And the offensive comments you made were spot on. They're a drive and shoot or drive and kick team, except when they kick it, you can bet it. I would bet on it. Or if I was playing against them and I'm a coach playing against them, I'd make them beat me with threes.
Absolutely.
They light it up. If they have a hot night and light it up and we go down, you know what I mean, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather go down like that than have them blow past everybody and get to the, you know, to the hoop and to
right.
the, because that's where they can hurt you.
Yeah. It's true. And remember, this is all they do. This is the entire offense. It's drive. And if they don't have a shot, then they kick it out and they shoot a three. And if they miss a three, they try to get the rebound and try to do a putback. It's so easy to defend that team. It's just really hysterical. Like, I'm surprised more teams haven't done the zone defense against them. But plenty have. Plenty of them have. LSU did, and they gave them a tough time. And we've seen it. We've seen it all year. And I really think that that's the kind of team that's going to give them fits. And as a result, they could be one of the first teams eliminated in the tournament. And that's in the round of 64. It's not even an exaggeration. And so I don't know what their odds are to win the championship. I don't think they're that great anyway, but I am very interested to see who they match up with, you know? Like, if they match up against one of them, that's great. If North Carolina sneaks in somehow, they're not because they're losing tonight. But if they did, that actually would favor – what do you think? Would that favor Auburn? I think that would. So I wouldn't want that as much, but
I don't know, it's like who's gonna be in from the SEC? Probably just four.
Yeah. I mean Kentucky's in, we know that. And
Kentucky's in.
I kinda think Alabama's
Auburn's
in.
Auburn's in
too, yeah.
No, not Alabama's not in. LSU's in and Florida's definitely in. I'd put Florida in over LSU.
They have a really good
LSU's.
That's a good resume there for Florida. I mean, they may not have the most wins, but they played everybody tough.
And they usually do, and they play better defense than most of that league.
Yeah.
I know. I wouldn't say they have a good chance this this weekend. You know, like you brought up the point that, you know, teams don't need it. And I don't know if I ever really see teams laid down in their conference tournament outside of maybe if there's somebody who's banged up and hurt and they know that they're in the big tournament, then you might see them do something different, like Blackshear. Mm-hmm. Terry Blackshear's a little banged up. He's got a wrist injury, so they don't know. I don't know if last night they weren't sure if he was going to play at all in the SEC tournament, which, of course, would really, really hamper their chances of doing much of anything because he's very important for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That he's a big cog in that wheel for sure, or in that engine. So let's see. We've covered the SEC. I think you're right about the number of bids. The Big Ten. Now, this is a league that everybody said was the best in college basketball this year. The only thing I would say, though, is that I don't think any team has really stepped up to be the class of that conference. And we've seen it at various times. Ohio State was there in the very beginning of the season. We saw Michigan State take charge of it in the middle of the season. And then late in the season, I couldn't even tell you. Like, nobody seemed to really step up near the end of the season.
It was right there for Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland. That's a good example.
They could have grabbed it. They could have went up and grabbed it, and they didn't.
No. Yeah.
To me, it's not that much of a knock. I just think all these teams are really good. Even your Iowas are good. And, you know, you went into Purdue on the wrong night.
Yeah.
Or Indiana on the wrong night.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we know Mackey Arena is a very tough place to win. Very tough.
Well, tough places to win. You got a team going to play Rutgers.
Yep.
That wasn't a good recipe for a win.
No.
That's for sure.
Nope. Only one team beat them this year in conference. It was Michigan, you know, at Rutgers. So.
Yep.
That's a very good point. And it's good that Rutgers got into the it has a chance to make a bid to get in. Do you think they get in? Because it looked pretty bad for a while because they were really struggling on the road, but they did get some key wins late, including the Maryland game we talked about. Do they make it? Yep. What do you think?
I would say yes right now. Mm-hmm. That win they just had at Purdue, mm-hmm. that looks pretty good.
Okay.
I don't know if Purdue makes it. That's not. That wasn't good. I mean, they did thump Iowa recently, and Iowa's probably most likely definitely in. Illinois is in. I would say the two bubble teams are Purdue and Indiana. Of course, Indiana winning tonight.
Oh, they did win. Did they cover, though? Did they cover the spread?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Very nice, very nice, very nice.
I mean, they're going to need more than one win against a Nebraska team just trying to get this thing over with right now.
Yeah. Let's see.
Speaking of limping to the line, and you got the American, which is call it a mess. It's just, I don't know if that's what I call it or not. The AAC, because Houston looked really good for a time, and you know they've shown some weaknesses lately. It's definitely not like last year. Since he's on quite a run, Memphis probably not enough to make it. Mm-hmm. You know Tulsa's got one of those really low net rankings. It's in the high 70s. They've never considered a team with metrics like that before, and they tied for the regular season championship for the league. So that's just you got Wichita State limping to the line.
Yep.
They've had some games that they shouldn't have lost.
Yep.
Real tough one to gauge.
Oh, that you're talking about the AAC, right?
More.
Yeah, and Houston was up and down too, right? Like that was kind of an enigma.
Yeah, at the beginning they looked like they were gonna I don't know if be as good as last year, because last year was, they were a three seed last year, if you remember. They were dominating, but
yeah,
I think some things just didn't go their way, and I think the whole league profile went down when, you know, Memphis had its issues with Wiseman and whatnot, and they're still on the very fringe, but I don't see it because I don't think they're reliable.
Yeah.
I would say that Houston's a lock. Even Houston's might be the only lock. Outside of that, you're looking at Cincy and maybe Wichita State. But I don't think the others, I don't think Memphis or Tulsa, unless they do something really good this week. And the problem is that the net ranking has gone so low for the, or so high, I should say, for this league, is you're not going to get those games even in your conference tournament, even if you go pretty deep. You know, if you're not playing Houston, you're not going to get, it's not going to be the quadrant that you need to amass those wins, or the profile of wins that you need. It doesn't do you much good to keep beating on teams that are, you know, have a higher rating than you do, because remember, low wins in that, in the ranking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you can win two or three games, but if they're against nobodies, or I hate using that word, but they're not quality.
Right.
They're not the quality wins that you're going to need. You can't play Houston three times. You hope to play them once, but it doesn't leave you. If you have work to do right now and you're in a league like that, you're not going to have the opportunity to do that work, which is unfortunate. But I think you understand what I'm getting at. Is there?
Yeah,
I would say Cincinnati, with the way they've been playing lately, I think they'll do okay this week. I think they'll get in. Shockers, they don't impress me. You know, if I'm looking at any other teams around, I'm just thinking about the A-10. And, man, Richmond has... it seems like every time I see Richmond, they look good.
It's funny you bring up Richmond first and not Dayton. I think that's very interesting. Let me back that up. No, I'm sorry. I think you got it right. Sorry. Carry on.
Well, I didn't think there were. I don't think we were questioning what Dayton did.
Right.
And for some reason, like I said something to a friend of mine. Dave thinks that Dayton's going to lose tonight. He thinks they thought they were going to lose last week. He's like,
I did.
If they do lose, I'm not giving him much credit because he's only been saying it for a month.
I've been calling that thing since since December, and it hasn't really come through for me yet.
No, it really hasn't.
And
they had the one close game. They had like the one really scary game against St. Louis at St. Louis.
Yeah, and then I'm like, watch out for George Mason, and they only lost by like 30 to them. Or George Washington.
It was still close late first half.
It was a little bit, but seriously, that's what I'm clinging to. George Washington keeping it close in the middle of the first half. That's the best I got right now. So we'll see. If the tournament brings about a moment for me, that's great, but Dayton has proved it so far. I mean, they've been great. I mean, all you got now is the rest of this A-10 tournament, and they honestly, I don't really see any real reason for them to lose any of these games, but they are going to be fine. I think they are safe enough, would you agree, that if they lost, for example, in the title game of the A-10, they're still going to get a one seed in the NCAA?
Yes. Mostly because the other teams have taken bigger steps back, like San Diego State and Baylor.
Yeah.
Even though I think Baylor still might be a number one, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just... Because, I mean, I would... Kansas is a lock for a one, and Gonzaga's a lock for a one.
Yeah. San Diego State, can we get on that? Boy, that team has done nothing to impress me since for 3 months. Because They when they lost the Mountain West title game against Utah State. Yeah. I mean, that was really the culmination of a whole second half of fumbling around and falling behind teams and having to come back from 16-point deficits. This team wasn't that impressive on offense. I think they had really sputtered with their ability to shoot the three and just shoot in general. They just haven't really been that good. And you can't just win every game with simply defense. And I think that's really come back to bite them in recent weeks. So I have no sympathy for them right now. I mean, they're not going to get a one seed. They might get a two. I think they'll get a two. But they had their opportunities to really make a case, and they really floundered much of that.
Well, no. You know what I mean? I don't think anyone really was that scared of them.
Right. That's true.
Especially after that first loss to UNLV.
Right.
They lost to UNLV. I mean, they come back, and they had to battle Colorado State. I remember that game. Then they had a pretty tight one against Nevada. Mm-hmm. And then they lost in the tournament final to Utah State. So I don't think anyone's that scared of them anymore. Definitely not the teams in that league weren't by the end of it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I'm just looking at this bracket for the A-10, and I'm just, you know, Richmond could find a way in. If things fell into place and in the quarters they played Davidson, that'd be a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then they play a semifinal game against Rhode Island and win it. Mm-hmm. If Rhode Island gets that far, that'd be a good opportunity.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, Rhode Island.
You know what I mean?
That's an interesting one. Yeah, Rhode Island has got an interesting case, too. Very true. Yeah. I'm going to take a look at the standings to get a better feel for where everybody is in the A-10. But I think those were the teams. Rhode Island was pretty good. Yeah, I can see that they've done very well. Where am I here? Oh, here I am. Okay. And we talked about St. Louis already, right? And then what do you think about Duquesne? Will they have...
No, I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, Davidson doesn't...
Up and down.
Yeah, okay. And I won't waste my time with St. Bonnie's. And VCU's kind of had... We know that VCU has done way bigger things than what they're doing this year. They're 18-13. And in conference 8-10. So I didn't think much of them this year. Would you feel the same?
Oh, yeah. I saw them squander some stuff away that shouldn't have happened.
I think it's funny.
not up to their standards.
Yeah. That's all right. I'm just looking at the standing.
The Duquesne loss, the loss to UMass, that was bad.
Oh, that was bad. Oh, dude.
They got blown out at St. Louis.
Right.
I mean, the one that I remember, though, because I ended up on the wrong end of it, was they did blow out Richmond. But that was a while ago.
Yeah. I mean... I don't remember that game, so it must have been a while ago. And meanwhile, at the top, you got Dayton, 20-game win streak. Good job out of Dave extending that streak with his proclamation.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man. I just mushed them to a one seed. That's great. That's pretty good. It's a very different year for college basketball, though. I think, assuming they play the tournament, and I think they will, you know, fans or no fans, I believe we're going to have a very interesting top four seeding this year. You know, Dayton is pretty much in there. We talked about how Kansas is definitely in there. We said that Gonzaga is getting a one. That's obvious by now. Those are very different one seeds. Like you've got Kansas is not different, but Dayton and Gonzaga Gonzaga is not even that different, but Dayton definitely is. And I think the fourth one is going to be the most interesting one.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it could still be Baylor.
I thought so, too. I think if Baylor has a good tournament, they can still get a one seed. And I don't think anyone would really argue it. Like, you know, Who else would really be in the running? I mean, Michigan State had so many chances to really extend themselves as a team to beat. They really kept messing up those chances.
And the same thing with Kentucky.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they came on, and then they went and they cough up that game to Tennessee.
Yep.
That's
right.
I mean, I don't think Tennessee was quite as bad as maybe some people thought.
They could have put away Florida too, and Florida came back and really made it a dogfight. I mean, they just can't help themselves here.
Well, because they're not a good shooting team. So, you know, their offense is a lot of driving, a lot of points in the paint, which is good, but not much, not a lot from the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I think the flip side of that, though, is I feel like their defense is solid, and I think that's why they could still be a pretty good tournament team.
Yes. Yep, that and the rebounding. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I think right there, I'm calling it NC just quit. If you're giving up huge ass alley oops to Baramas the D-Bay,
we calling it over there in Greensboro. Are all the precincts in? We're calling it right there.
DB's got 10-10. It's a 23-point game.
Yeah, I think it's time to call it.
Yeah,
it's time to call it. This could be a virtual runaway year. Concession speeches to follow.
Okay, I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Oh yeah, there's people leaving in powder blue. That's funny.
Yeah. Great times. I'm pretty sure we missed some conferences. We covered probably 20 of them, but I still think we missed a bunch. And to those of you conferences,
of
I know the big...
It's hard to follow on the whole thing. Yeah. If you want to talk about one that had a bit of an upset, how about Bradley?
Bradley.
Getting in from the Missouri Valley.
That was interesting. You know why? Because...
I dominated it all year.
Well, no, but yeah, but at the same time, I'm like, I was not. Do you know how we were talking about how nobody was scared of San Diego State? Well, nobody's scared of Northern Iowa. Nobody. Like, they grind, they try to suck the life out of the basketball in order to win. So I can't say that.
It seems to work.
I mean, yeah, certainly. It's worked for them for a number of years, absolutely, but. It just didn't seem like a team I was scared of, and so I felt like that was up for the taking. I thought maybe, you know, I didn't know who was going to take it. I thought maybe Indiana State could have taken it, but I thought I thought that.
I thought maybe Drake after Drake beat you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is that you and I drubbed Drake at the end of the year in a game. I mean, just lit them up.
Yeah.
You know, you had the Ramblers in there too, Loyola Chicago, but then that...
That didn't seem realistic,
you know,
though. They were really...
Yeah, okay. I had to look up the game because I had to... The last game of the regular season that you and I and Drake, they played each other the last game of the regular season. It was 70-43, you and I.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Then they meet just a few days later on a neutral court, 77-56 Drake.
You can't predict basketball, Susan. That's funny. Yeah.
No, yeah. And we can officially say happy trails to Stanford. See
oh, is
ya.
That right? Oh, wow.
They lost. Yep.
Look at that. Again, just to repeat a point we made about the SEC, I couldn't even tell you who wins the Pac-12 tournament. Like I think if you made me pick one team, I am probably picking Oregon because of their track record and just their long-term track record from like 2010 to now, not just in the Pac-12, but overall, like
I would say they probably have one of the top, if not the top, players in the league in Pritchard.
That's the
top
guy.
Point guard, right?
Yeah.
That's. I can tell you who won this parlay though, and it was the casino.
Oh no! Oh, that stinks. That's a bummer. All right.
Yeah, the money, five-team money line deal that included Stanford. I figured. They were favored by 9. They lost by 11.
Yikes. They lost by 11. So that's a difference of 20?
And listen, to add strength to your point, field goals on the night, they shot 32%.
Ooh. Yeah, that's not surprising. That's Stanford. That's Stanford in a nutshell. Yeah, it's just.
I mean, Cal shot 48%. That looks like stunning offense in comparison.
That's like the Bill Walton game in 1974 where he didn't miss a basket for like 23 or 24. It looks like that, right? Too funny.
Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, that's pretty wild. So. That's going to end it for Stanford. Cal's not going to be far behind, though. I think they'll lose their next game, whoever they play.
Probably.
Yeah. Very, very, very high probability. Let's see. Who are they playing? Let me see. Just kind of look at this. Like you said, it's really tough to track all this. Like, there will be 15 conferences in action tomorrow. 15 conference tournaments in one night and day. That's a lot of basketball to watch in one sitting.
Well, that goes through at least Saturday.
Yeah.
When a lot of them wrap up.
Yeah. But
there
I
won't
think,
be as many games because you start getting into semifinals.
By Saturday, a lot of the conferences will have wrapped too because they'll have their final on Friday.
No, there's no finals on Friday.
Oh, there are no finals on Friday. Are there any tomorrow?
No, that's it. No. There's not another final. Until Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you get the traditional Sunday ones.
Yeah, not a lot. And it always ends in the Big Ten, and I never understood that. Like, really?
Yep.
The Big Ten? Yeah. Why is it always the Big Ten? Is there a reason? Is there a story behind that?
I don't know. Is there a reason Iowa has to be the first caucus in every presidential thing? I don't know. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, see, that's another good question. Yeah, that's a great question. I've never figured that out. I'm like, it's so random.
Like, we're first, and we have to be first, and we're going to move our shit to be first. And okay, whatever. You be first. Well, the thing is that the first auto bid, that the first conference tournament to end, is always traditionally been last Saturday.
Mountain West.
And it's always been. No,
not Mountain West.
They just moved theirs back. It was this year, but that's not traditional.
Oh, okay.
Traditionally, that Saturday night, it's the Ohio Valley.
Oh, yeah.
And Belmont did lock themselves into the tournament with their win over Murray State.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Now, I'm trying to remember, is Belmont the team that beat Iowa State many years ago to become one of the few 15 seeds to beat a 2? I'm trying to remember. Was that them? That was Hampton, not Belmont. Sorry.
Hampton. Well, that was that the year that 2 15 seeds won? Was that Hampton?
I don't know about 2.
No. I'm thinking.
That was
no,
later.
No, I'm thinking of the year Norfolk State beat Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And then Missouri was a 2 seed, and they went down as well.
Yeah, that was a bitter day for Missouri fans. I remember that very well.
Yep.
Yeah. Was Missouri still in the Big 12 back then? That I don't know.
I couldn't tell you.
It was probably around 2013. I can't remember what year it was, but it was around there. Okay, so anyway, Belmont's not any of those teams, sorry. But good job out of them. I won't even ask as to what their potential is to upset anybody. But they did well, so that's good.
Yep.
Okay. Any final thoughts? I mean, now we've covered like an additional 5 conferences, so we're pretty close to getting all of
them. That's true.
Yeah. Let's see.
Some of them we're just not going to get to. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Big West. Look, I love the Big West. I'm not always going to be a fan, but
I do too. But it's just not the best year.
No, it's just not your year. And it's just, I assume that Irvine will win, but man, there is some rough basketball this year. I would watch like Long Beach State, Hawaii, Fullerton versus UCSB, Northridge versus Hawaii. It just wasn't happening. It was just not their year.
No.
But any other final thoughts?
My final thoughts are that everybody, I hope everybody enjoys watching on TV because that's all you can do right now.
It's true, though. I'm just saying. I hope everyone can watch
pretty
on
good,
TV.
But it was, like you said, an interesting year with a lot of ups and downs and ebbs and flows from the beginning to the end of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can never... It seems like the past couple of years has ever ranked number one. It seems like they want to give that away really quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. But, nobody could hang on to number one, even more so than usual.
Nope.
I mean, and that's what made it kind of exciting, too. And it also means that the tournament this year is going to be wide open, I think. Maybe if I were to pick one team, since just in case, I mean, I don't know, we might go on again next week, but just to make sure, if you could pick one team to win it all, what team are you picking?
I'm not going to make that call yet. I'm going to go a different. Can I go a little bit of a different direction here?
Sure.
I'm going to say, and I'm not saying that they're going to win. I'm saying, if there was a year that Gonzaga was finally going to do this, this could be it.
Yeah.
That's the way it's set up.
Yeah. That is a great setup for them.
If Gonzaga's ever going to get it done, this would be a year to do it.
There's so many little nuances to that. I think they have a great setup. They really do. There's absolutely no question. The thing that really makes it for me with Gonzaga is that their commitment to defense has improved quite a lot since maybe like 15 years ago when I started watching them make runs in the tournament. So I really think, not 15 years ago, you could go back further than that, but let's just go back to where they lost to UCLA. So that was 2007. I mean, you go back to that year, or maybe 2006. Their commitment to defense since that time has been much improved. And they're a much deeper team, and they can get it done in the backcourt and the front court at the same time. Like you always know they have their big dudes. And I keep forgetting the guy's name, but you even got but the guard play is good too. Ayayi, I think, is one of the guys. The other guy is pretty good too.
But I mean, look at them inside with Petrushev and Tilly. Yep. And Timmy, and now Timmy coming on.
Tilly and Timmy had a game. Timmy had a game in the.
And if you didn't know, Dickie V was going to let you know.
I think that's why I know, because he kept mentioning it every 10 minutes. That's true. Oh, that's funny. But no, it's a good time. I mean, yes, of course, the strength has often been the front court with Gonzaga, and it continues to be this year. So you got guys that have a lot of good skills. They can pass. They can get off a good shot. I don't know if Timmy's going to dominate and become an NBA player like Dickie V thinks, but certainly he had a great game.
Yep.
Yeah. But I love that, though. That's a good call. Because I think usually if you're this good for this long, it has to happen at some point. It happened for Kansas. It's happened for... it happened for your guys, Syracuse. It happened way back in 2003, but it did happen. And
yep.
I think if it's going to happen, this is the time. Yeah, I see that completely. For me, I'm going to go with Kansas, and they've been through a lot. They had to fight with D'Souza at the end of the game against Kansas State, and that got nasty. Yep. They rebounded from that. I'm not going to say that it necessarily brought the team together, but since that time, they've been much more consistent, and their defense has been solid. One thing about Kansas that's been true to them all year, they've been a really great road team. They've played – I don't think they've lost very many times on the road at all. I don't think they lost at all, period. But on the road, they just seem to play that much better. And that's a good sign, because when you play in a tournament setting, you don't really have a home crowd. You don't have a home setting. So that favors them greatly. So I'm going to take Kansas, and I think they should at least make the Final Four. I'd be very disappointed if they didn't.
Same, but Kansas has disappointed us before.
Oh yeah, I know. So you can't ever count on it. Yeah,
but it's a new year. It's a new year.
It's true. So we'll watch for both of them, and I wouldn't rule out Duke either. Though again, Duke's defense is just not that good. So I feel like I think they can do it, but it's just going to, I don't know, it would take a lot of, they'd have a lot of good bounces. They'd have to have a lot of close games. I think it would take a lot of that. Again, and this is no surprise, I don't give Dayton, I would be more surprised than not if Dayton made the Final Four. Now, this is, you were not surprised by this comment, but I would definitely be quite surprised if I saw Dayton in the Final Four this year. I guess my question is, what is their plus? But, you know, right. It's just, they beat a lot of teams that were not that good. They beat some good teams too, but they did what they had to do. But I don't know. It's just an instinctual thing with me. I just don't feel like they're going to have it, but we'll see.
Could be. We'll see. A lot of it's going to come down to how exactly, you know, the bracket set up. Who's in what bracket, who's got to go through who.
Right.
That always means a lot. You know, it's hard to say right now.
It is. Yeah. But I think that's a pretty good synopsis of where we think the Final Four will be in about a month from now. We certainly think that the tops will be in the tops. And I think we defer on Dayton. I don't know if you think Dayton... Do you think Dayton has Final Four potential yourself?
I don't think they have potential. Like I said, if, I don't know if they have to, like if Kentucky's the 2 seed in that region, that's going to be really rough, you know?
Yeah. That's very... Like you said, the seeding's going to have a lot to say about it. So we don't really know that yet. We will in a few days. Very good. So anyway, I really want to thank you for your time, Chris. This has been a really fun conversation, and we will
always.
Yeah, for sure. All the best to your bets and your brackets and everything else. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, you were saying?
Yeah, so maybe we can do it again next week when
I hope
we
so.
Actually have the matchup.
Absolutely,
we can
do it with a bracket and get a feel for each of the regions. With that is going to be a good call. And so we've really, you know, we hope that this has been informative for all of you guys. And we'll keep in touch on that, because I think I won't have any issue finding time to do that. I think it's just a matter of, you know, we'll make sure that it works through your schedule and everything else.
All right,
Chris. Thanks again. Have a good weekend and enjoy the conference tournaments as well.
Yep, you too. Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bud. Take care. That's Chris in Syracuse, and that's our program tonight. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. And again, we hope that you can enjoy everything that is to come in the world of sports in the next couple of days, whatever there is to come. But for now, we have our college basketball scene in the mix. You can find us on DidCal, or you can find us on Twitter at DidCal, and on the web at didCal.com. Enjoy all the basketball. We'll see you next time.